Welcome back to this week's Off the Bench podcast for the Premier League. I'm Az from FPL Black Box.
And I'm Oscar, FPL Focal.
Well, Oscar, after 11 days, game week 21 has finally ended. It's been a difficult couple of weeks for FPL managers, you know, trying to navigate press conferences, injuries, two sets of fixtures, international duties, all these other things. How have you found it? We're going to focus on kind of the second half of the game week this week. But as a whole, how was game week 21 for you?
Oh, 52 points for me this week. So red arrow. Yeah, a couple of key decisions went against me. I had Saliba over Gabriel and I captained Saka, which was brutal. I had Edison as well, who obviously went off injured a few minutes into the game.
Oh, no.
And I had Gordon's, I know. And then Gordon's 7 points on the bench as well. So I was actually hoping Bowen wouldn't make it back in the end because I would have taken those 7 points. But Stupin and Richarlison were two of my transfers in. They both got 8 points, so that's positive. Overall pleased with how my team's set up. But I understand you took a -8, didn't you? So how did you get on?
I did. I was very, very close to wildcarding. You know, when you're in kind of -8 territory, -12, the temptation to play the wildcard is always there. But if I'd done it, it would have been a disaster. Gabriel would have come out. He wasn't in the draft that I was looking at. I wouldn't have had Darwin, who we're going to talk about in a bit. As well. And yeah, I would have finished up on less points and really be kind of cursing it, really. So I've got 74 points with the -8. And like I said, you know, players like Gabriel, Darwin, you know, Palmer, Estupinan, Martinez on my in goal finally coming through, and Porro as well. So it's quite nice when you have a team of players all kind of chip in with their fair share rather than just relying on kind of one or two players. And I've got the wild card to play in the next few weeks when we've got the double game weeks and blanks potentially coming up. So, yeah, overall, good game week. Green over -8, kept the wild cards. You got to take it, really, haven't you?
I'm glad you kept it. We were talking in messages just before the game week and you were thinking about it. You really were. And I was saying, I don't think I would do it. So, yeah, I'm glad you held on to it. Yeah, I'm not always right. But I'm glad you held on to it because that's going to come in handy. We've got the blanks and doubles and all sorts to come. So, good decision.
Yeah, I think so. It's, you know, it's such a powerful chip, isn't it? I mean, we look at the other chips and we talk about, you know, things like the bench boost and triple captain. And obviously, they're all helpful when you're going to get points of them. But I think particularly the free hit and the wild card, they're the ones where you really expect to see, you know, they can be season changing if you use them at the right time. So, yeah, I really didn't want to kind of use that one too early. So, yeah, in the end, you were right. And, you know, thank you for thanks for the advice. Let's talk about some of the games then. Let's start with kind of the first game of this second half of the game week, which was your team, Arsenal, up against Palace. Saka had the armband for lots of us, myself and yourself included. But in the end, disappointing, just 3 points.
Yeah, it was. I couldn't believe that. You know, 5 goals, loads of attacking returns across the board, obviously a clean sheet for the defenders. So yeah, only a few players didn't get returns that game. And obviously Saka was one of them. Very disappointing. I captained him. Did you captain him or did you go Palmer?
Yeah, I went Saka.
Yeah.
Yep.
But obviously, yeah, Gabriel ran the show with the goal. He got the assist in the end, didn't he? Not the goal. It was initially a second goal, but Henderson's own goal, so Gabriel assist. And of course, that meant no assists for Saka, but yeah, huge point for Gabriel owners. So well played if you had him. Yeah, Arsenal racked up 3.21 XG, which was the top of Game Week 21. And they only conceded 0.35 XGC, which was also best in Game Week 21. So a really good game for Arsenal.
You're not going to like this, right? But I'm really annoyed about Gabriel losing that goal.
I kind of am as well, you know, because I captained Saka, so I would have taken anything at that point.
Because that's a big swing of points. You know, Saka gets the assist point and then doubled, obviously, as the captains. And then Gabriel goes from, 3 to 6 from the assist to the goal as well. So that's 9 points in that decision. And then potentially bonus points, you know, might have changed around a little bit, maybe an extra one for Gabriel or something like that. So yeah, it was a big swing, but I can't really complain with 17 points from Gabriel. But Arsenal now scored the most goals from set pieces of all teams in the league of 13. Does that surprise you? Because I've always kind of associated Arsenal a bit with maybe short corners and maybe Gabriel hasn't really been hitting the heights of goal scoring form that we saw maybe in his really early days at Arsenal. But things seems to be changing around a bit now, much more of a threat from these set pieces.
Yeah, that is surprising. Yeah, Arsenal do take a lot of short corners, but yeah, we know what Gabriel's threat is like. I think last season he was top among all defenders for expected goals, so we know what he's about. Yeah, I mean, that's plenty of incentive to be whipping them in more often than playing them short. But yeah, another surprising stat. We feel like Saka's been a disappointing pick this season, right? But after 21 game weeks, last season, Saka had 109 points. 109 last season at this point. He's on 110 at the same point now. Really surprised me seeing that, because perhaps he's not hitting those double-digit hauls. Maybe that's a factor. He doesn't feel like a captain this season. But he's maintained pace with how he was doing last season.
Well, I'm kind of looking for an excuse to sell him, you know, because you've got a player who's 65% owned in the game. And not going to lie, I'm not doing that well this season. So trying to find a way to kind of go against, you know, what a lot of people are doing is the way potentially to have quite, you know, big rank gains. But what you've just mentioned there, I mean, you know, his season-wide outstanding season last season, he's on course to match that, at least from an FPL perspective. I'd look at the kind of the underlying stats as well, just to see, you know, maybe there's a bit of a drop off. Maybe there's some kind of explanation as to why he's not really getting the points recently that maybe he got maybe at the start of the season or last season. But I mean, compared to last season, he's got a better minutes per XGI. He's had more penalty touches on average in the games, similar amount of goal attempts. He's created more chances, similar shot accuracy. His conversion's down a little bit. He was 16% last season, down to 12%. This season, but you know, there's nothing alarming there to suggest that he's not going to continue to get points in the same way that he got last season. And then if you compare him from kind of game week one to game week 16, and from game week 16 where there's been less returns for him, again, there's no real regression in his stats. Minutes per XGI the same. He's had more penalty area touches, you know, in these recent games, more goal attempts, similar chances created. It's a similar story. The main thing is just that conversion, 4% for Saka since game week 16. Really poor.
This is it. Yeah, we're talking about this drop off, but yeah, the underlying numbers are promising. So I'm not sure he's necessarily a sell. And of course, we've got the double game week 25 a bit further ahead, but I don't know if I'd sell him for then either, because they've got Burnley that game week. So
yeah,
I think my plan's to hold. Certainly next game week when they've got Forest away.
I just think he's too good not to start getting returns. And I don't think he's out of form. Like this is the thing. Like he's not a player who I watch and think, oh, he's struggling for fitness, or, you know, that there's something going on with him. I don't see that at all. And it's just about, you just want, you know, if he'd got the assist in that game, or if he'd got a goal in the game, I don't think anyone would be talking about it. It's just the fact that it's a blank in a week where so many other players have done well. And there's so many options now, it feels like, you know, with players like Richarlison, with Jota, who we're going to talk about in a bit, maybe you switch to three up top. And, you know, the most owned player in the game is obviously going to be someone we scrutinise a little bit more, but I really don't think there's cause to panic.
No, I agree. And obviously Martinelli got a brace off the bench, a late brace for him. Trossard also scored. He was the one that started ahead of him. A bit unfortunate that. I think people have been selling Martinelli, and understandably so. He, compared to Saka, certainly has had a drop-off. But yeah, brace for him off the bench.
Well, shout out to Ali, who won FPL last season, who captained him. Captain Martinelli this week.
Fair play.
I mean, that is FPL in a nutshell, isn't it? You go from despair when you see a player like that on the bench. And then elation when he comes through. Yeah, I mean, there is rotation kind of in those other spots, isn't there? You know, with Havertz, with Trossard, with Martinelli as well. I mean, Odegaard, I think Odegaard has been disappointing. We talk about Saka and the kind of, you know, the fact that a lot of the points are the same, the stats are the same. But I mean, Odegaard was a 200 plus pointer last season, and he doesn't really look like he's going to get anywhere near that this season. I think he's only had one return in his last seven games.
Yeah, it's poor. Do you think that's because of Xhaka leaving and Havertz coming in? Do you think that's to balance out the attack a bit more? He's less involved?
I think so. I think a lot of people kind of maybe predicted that. Maybe he'd have less kind of reign to get forward. But the drop-off has been substantial. And he's still 20% owned in the game as well, and still costs 8.5 million. But yeah, I just think he's not someone who you're going to be going near. And the reason I want to mention him is because if you don't have Saka, it's really hard to know which Arsenal attacker to recommend. And so are you really going to go without an Arsenal attacker like going forward in the season? I mean, you've mentioned Burnley in game week 25, but you know, it's West Ham in 24, Newcastle at home. We know that they've been poor kind of away in 26. And then it's Sheffield United, Brentford. These are good fixtures. They've just turned Crystal Palace over 5-0. I want to keep an Arsenal player.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, let's move over to the next game then. That was Brentford versus Nottingham Forest. Obviously, it was the kind of eagerly awaited return for Ivan Toney. Just the one goal for him from the free kick. Just the one goal attempt as well, I noticed. So just the one shot that he had. Tough fixtures coming, double game week. What do you reckon? You going there?
Yeah, he's turned a few heads though, hasn't he? Obviously, he scored that cheeky free kick. He got all three bonus as well, despite getting booked. So that was impressive. Yeah, it's great when you've got strikers and free kicks. We don't see that often. And he's actually scored the joint most free kicks since the start of last season with three. Ward-Prowse, the other player who scored three over that run. But Tony's only taken 10 free kicks, whereas Ward-Prowse, 25. So yeah, really impressive for Tony. And obviously he's on pens. There's a lot to like about him. The double game at 25, as you mentioned, and no blank in game at 29, looking further ahead as well. Obviously, that's a while away, but the first fixture that's confirmed going ahead in game at 29 is Burnley versus Brentford. But yeah, tough fixtures, as you say. He's 8 mil, which is a bit expensive. Only 4% owned, so a nice differential. I'm not sure if I'll go there right now. Maybe in game at 25, if Watkins continues to disappoint. What about you?
Well, I think that's the thing, isn't it? Watkins is the one, because you know, you talk about all the routes to points that Tony's got. You know, free kicks. I didn't know that stat about him scoring, you know, having such a good rate from those penalties as well. Obviously, Watkins doesn't have either of those. Doesn't take the free kicks. Doesn't take the penalties. So he's completely relying on open play attacking returns, of which there's only been one in the last four games, two in the last seven. Again, that's not a great return for a player with a similar ownership to Saka. Who's in so many sides. The only thing is that Watkins has got in his favour over Tony is, of course, the fixtures.
Yeah,
given it's Newcastle at home next, then Sheffield United, then Fulham, then Forest, then Luton. I mean, even then Spurs, West Ham. I mean, this is a great run of games right up until game week 29. And okay, Villa haven't been getting, you know, amazing results lately. Watkins hasn't been in the points, but I do tend to move towards fixtures when there's a dilemma like this. And it's using a transfer as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. I think Watkins got to be held with the fixtures. But yeah, no goals over the last four. And over the last four, he's actually 31st in the league for expected goal involvement with 1.62 XGI. So yeah, I'd like to see Watkins do something with these better fixtures. And then I'll make a call around game week 25 on Tony.
And the question is, how many goals do you think Tony gets between now and the end of the season?
Oh, good question. I think he gets at least 10, I think.
So if he gets 10 and there's, what, kind of 16 games left? That's almost a goal a game. Because I think the same. I think he gets 10 and then probably a couple assists as well. So
yeah,
we're almost backing him to get an attacking return every match between now and the end of the season. That's a pretty good return.
I mean, last season he scored 18, I think, in about 36 games. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he scores 20. double-digit goals. Sorry, 20 in 36 games. I think he missed the last couple. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he scores double-digit goals between now and the end of the season. And I think he's fixture-proof. Like, we talk about tough fixtures, but last season he scored a brace against City. He scored against Arsenal last season. So, I think he's kind of fixture-proof as well, Tony. And so many routes to points, as we said earlier, the free kicks and pens as well.
If you were wildcarded this week, would you go for Watkins or Tony?
Oh, you know what? I wouldn't want to sell Watkins, that's the thing. I might even end up with Tony Watkins and Haaland if I was going to wildcard this week. What about you? Would you have him?
Yeah, I think I probably would. I think he's the kind of player who is a season, bit of a season transform. I'm actually playing in the official FPL draft league. I've got a group that I play that with, and I had Tony at the start, right at the start of the season. So I've carried him all the way through and until now. And you know, he's come straight in with a goal. And, you know, hopefully he can transform my draft season. But also I think he's a player who, if you go for, you know, 4% ownership at the moment, that's going to massively increase. And okay, the double game week is pretty, you know, it's as bad as it gets really, isn't it? Two away games, Liverpool and Man City. But you'd rather have him for that than not have him. So yeah, I'm probably looking at him for the double, I think. And then I think he's just to keep for the rest of the season.
And the other player who scored was Wood. Is he on your radar at all? 4.9 mil. He's got five goals and an assist in his last four games. Very, very cheap. And he's doing well. Playing 90 every game. Could he be a good enabler?
38 points in 4 weeks for Chris Wood.
I mean, yeah, it's really impressive. And he's so cheap.
I know. It is amazing. And Praz, who does, you know, the off the bench podcast and other bits. Yeah, Praz went for Chris Wood at 4.9. And, you know, I think he might have benched him for his hat trick. But, you know, I played him this week, you know, with another good haul from him. I mean, Forest are a transformed team attacking wise. That's what Nuno's brought in. And key men missing as well. I mean, no Elanga, no Gibbs-White. as well. No, Abanayi too up top. So you've got to think when they get those players back, they're going to be stronger. But when they get those players back, is there going to be room for Chris Wood in the side? I think he's a fine option at 4.9. I think particularly if you're playing at five in midfield and you're looking to move on someone like Archer, potentially who now we think's lost his place. I think he's probably the best out there. But yeah, I still think there's probably better options than Chris Wood, for our starting 11s.
Yeah, for starting 11s, I agree. In terms of budget forwards, I think he's probably the best now. I think it was pretty telling that when Sheffield United were chasing the game against West Ham, it was McBurnie that came on, and then it was Archer later. Yeah. So perhaps he's third in the pecking order now, after Asula as well.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about Sheffield United next. I mean, you know, it's been an upturn in kind of performances, definitely, I think, since Wilder kind of took over. I mean, before Wilder took over, they were bottom for like defensive numbers and for attacking numbers as well. Since he's taken over, I think particularly defensive form has improved quite a lot, and now kind of like a mid-table team if you look at kind of the amount of shots kind of conceded. Attacking-wise, they're still struggling a little bit. They're 14th for goal attempts, since he took over. But I mean, they were bottom, as I said, before that. So that's why Diaz has come in. Obviously, they're looking to get a bit more from the attack. 5 million midfielder playing up front. I do like him, I have to say.
Yeah. Oh, we love an out-of-position player, don't we? Yeah. Debut goal for him. Yeah, he was quite impressive, I thought.
The new Michu.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Hopefully. Him and McCatty were the two that impressed me. I think McCatty's only 4.4 mil.
Mm.
He's only got, I think, 4 returns this season. But yeah, he could be a nice enabler if we need one in midfield. But yeah, debut goal for him. So definitely on the watch list as well, Diaz.
Yeah, I guess it's just that kind of thing. I mean, when we've got so many options, you know, with players, I think particularly midfield as well. I mean, you know, Palmer, Saka, you've got Foden, you've got Richarlison as well. You know, these are kind of key areas for us. And then you've got the likes of like De Bruyne and kind of, you know, maybe Jota, who we're going to mention in a bit. There's a lot of competition. So if you're going for a 5 million Sheffield United midfielder, I think it's a bit similar to Chris Wood. It's kind of, when do you really play them? They're probably just going to be more of a bench option for you. But then they're a little bit too good to just be a bench option, because, you know, Wood's showing great form kind of going forward, and Diaz has got that out of position option. Yeah, I do like Diaz though. I do, you know, we do like those kind of cheap midfielders playing in different roles. But I just think with the competition he's got, and, you know, with other players, I mean, have it mentioned like Gordon or someone like that, I just think there's maybe better options, but not a bad pick.
We should talk a bit about West Ham as well. So Bowen made the game in the end, and of course he blanked.
Yeah,
there was a penalty shout, wasn't there?
You need him to miss out.
I wouldn't have minded, but yeah, there was a penalty shout at the very end, you know. Yeah, he was brought down, but it wasn't given. McBurnie, 103rd minute equaliser though for him, which is the latest goal on record, 103rd minute.
Wow.
But Areola obviously went off just before the penalty. It was just like a bust lip, so he's fine. I wonder if the Areola owners were glad that he came off.
I was just about to ask you that, yeah.
Yeah, because obviously that goal meant minus one if he had stayed on and if it had gone in. But there is the chance of the safe penalty points, of course, and potential bonus there. Mm. But I think you'd probably take that if you have him.
What do you, I don't know. I think I would. I'd gamble the 1 point, I think.
Would you?
I think so, for the potential of probably 7 points, right? Because he saves a penalty, he's probably getting a couple of bonus as well, like you said. Yeah. You just be happy not to concede the minus one.
I'm a bit
so
of a dull
boring
manager. Yeah. I know. On. I mean, penalties have an XG of 0.79, right? So about 79% of pens go in. So you're taking a 21% chance of those points or a minus one. Yeah. I suppose that shows what type of managers we are.
Gamble on it any day. Any day.
Fair enough. Yeah. Lucky you're not in charge of West Ham.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you've got Bowen as well. Lots of people do. He's owned by kind of a quarter of the game, 26% ownership. Quite expensive, 8.1 million. I mean, this is kind of, he's made of some strong stuff, because we all thought he was going to be out of this match, and he ended up coming in and playing 90 as well, which is obviously a big thing for him. We want our players to play 90. He's clearly like the talisman of that side. Kudus is maybe coming back. We're not really sure what kind of Garner's status is, but it looks like he there's a strong chance he's coming back, which obviously boosts West Ham's attack, and Paqueta to come back as well. What are you thinking with Bowen? Is he a hold for you, or are you looking at the exit door for him?
Yeah, he's definitely a hold for me for now. I mean, they've got Bournemouth home next game week, so And as you say, like Kudus could be back. It looks like Garner might be eliminated from AFCON. Mm. And he's obviously a big miss, as well as Paqueta, as you said. So that'd be a huge boost if he's back. But yeah, I'll definitely be holding him for next game week. I think further ahead, though, I need to find a way to get both Haaland and Salah back in. So I think it'll end up being Bowen that I have to sacrifice. So I'm looking at someone cheap like Garnacho, who I know you just picked up yourself.
Yeah.
Or maybe Mikati, who I mentioned earlier. I'm looking at someone like that purely because I have to get Salah and Haaland back in, unless Liverpool don't get a double game week 25. So we'll have to see if that drops in or not.
Be interesting to see what happens to you if say, Saka has a couple more blanks and Bowen, you know, scores really well against Bournemouth and against Manchester United, and then suddenly you've got that transfer to make. I mean, how kind of swayed are you by points? It sounds really stupid because it's a game of points.
Yeah.
But, you know, if in 2 weeks there was a big swing between Bowen and Saka, would you be more tempted to keep Bowen maybe?
I would be, yeah. I think they'll finish this season similarly for points. So I'm not totally opposed against selling Saka if he does, you know, continue to blank over the next few. But yeah, at the back of my head, it's so far ahead now, but I'm looking at game week 29 and West Ham have a really good chance of playing that game week. Before the games have been played in the FA Cup, then there's about 29% chance that they don't blank in game week 29. So I'm looking at Bowen perhaps as someone I'd rather keep over Saka if Arsenal do blank. But yeah, I'm not sure yet. I'll have to see how the next few game weeks go.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where, you know, you can make like the best laid plans, but then, you know, something happens. You know, Bowen suddenly goes on a crazy goal scoring run and you kind of don't want to sell him. I mean, he's a player that I kind of fear every week. Like he's a player that I just haven't owned this season. And he just seems to keep chipping away. He's not really one for like huge hauls, is he? I think he's had one double-digit haul kind of all season. But when you look at his returns, it's very consistent. Chips away with the eights, the sevens and the sixes as well, which is nice. It's nice to have in that side.
Yeah, I'm looking at game week 23. They do have Man United away. Game week 24, they've got Arsenal. So that could be a potential window that I sell him. But yeah, it'd be a difficult call if he does well against Bournemouth.
Not expecting another 2-0 loss to West Ham in that game, were you?
No, back and Bowen all the way.
let's move on to Bournemouth and Liverpool. Then kind of, quite a lot of us had eggs in this basket, even without Salah around. I went in with Darwin in this match. Jota was popular because we expect him to kind of get more minutes. Trent was out, which was a shame. This was a game that we kind of thought he might do quite well in. But actually, it was the first two that I mentioned that they ended up doing well. Jota with a massive haul, really, really great for the people that went early on him. And finally, patience rewarded with Darwin. Oh my God, I cannot tell you how relieved I was to see him getting two goals after having him for so long.
Yeah. He finally cashed in on his XG.
Finally, I know. And what an XG is, I mean, no player's had a higher XG either than Darwin over the last 6 weeks, 1.06.
Wow.
And he's just 0.1 behind Haaland for the season. So the numbers are always there with Darwin. It's just those returns.
And Jota as well with a brace, like the top scorer of Game Week 21, 19 points for him. So well played if you went for him. Obviously, he's a midfielder in FPL as well. You know, we've been talking about the out-of-position assets. He was playing right wing, to be fair, but he can play through the middle as well. So yeah, well played if he went for Jota. Huge return there. A really impressive result all round, to be honest, because as you said, Salah, Trent missing, also Endo, Szoboszlai. So quite a few players out. Bradley filled in at right back. He had a decent game.
Yeah,
he did. The assist for Jota's goal. And maybe we should talk about Salah as well. You know, he's in a lot of teams still. Some people were hoping to hold him through AFCON, and now instead he's got this injury. His agent said, quote, Mohamed's injury is more serious than first thought, and he's going to be out for 21 to 28 days. So worst case scenario, if it's 28 days, he'd miss the first game of game week 25 if that ends up being a double. So yeah, there's definitely an opportunity to sell. Obviously, if Egypt make it all the way to the final, maybe semis, if he's back earlier, then he'll rejoin Egypt. What do you think about Salah?
I think it's very different now. You know, if you've got Salah on your bench or you're planning to hold him through the AFCON tournament, I think that's very different to now he's got this kind of injury which could keep him out for a month. A player going off to an international tournament and coming back, okay, there might be a bit of fatigue there depending on how far they get, but they're still fit, they're ready to go in theory and they're, you know, straight back into the side. When a player's coming back from injury, you just never really know how long it's going to take, how long, you know, do they need a recovery time? Do they integrate straight back in? And especially if Liverpool are playing well as well, they might be a bit more cautious with bringing Salah kind of straight back into the fold. So I think he's a sell. I think he's a sell now. I think if there's not, there just doesn't really seem much sense in holding, you know, the most expensive player, you know, other than Haaland that we have, particularly at a time when we think Haaland might be on the verge of coming back, or we hope that he's on the verge of coming back. You know, if you're scrambling to get Haaland and you're keeping Salah, I just can't really see the logic there. So I think with so many good midfielders, it's an easy sell for me if you've got him.
Yeah, and especially if Haaland's back and you haven't got him, then you could downgrade Salah and then go, you know, any forward up to Haaland. And yeah, Egypt, they finished second in their group, the African Cup of Nations, so they are out of their group. I'll have to see how far they go as well, because of course there is the chance that he rejoins them, as we say.
Yeah.
And obviously Trent, the other one, who's been injured, but he is expected to be back game week 22. They've got the League Cup against Fulham, I think it is, and Klopp said there's a chance he makes that. Mm. If not, he can make the FA Cup after that. So there's a League Cup, the FA Cup, then there's game week 22. So it looks like Trent will be back as well.
Yeah, and I mean, I've still got Trent, and his was a bit more optimistic in a way, because they kind of said it's going to be a couple of weeks, and because we had such a big gap between, you know, the two sets of fixtures, that one was an easier hold. I know some have sold him, and I think that's going to be a decision to make. I mean, it's the same with Liverpool assets in general. I mean, do you move Salah to Jota? Do you go for Darwin? Do you move back for Trent? But it is Chelsea and Arsenal next, which on paper doesn't look like the easiest set of fixtures. But kind of the question mark is how important are the Liverpool assets? I'd argue that a fit Trent is right up there as you know, like number one target that I'd be looking for. Jota, I think, is a great option. But I think if Trent gets the all clear for Chelsea at home, I think people have surely got to be moving back for him, right?
Yeah. He's the one I held on to, yeah. I sold Salah, I sold Haaland, but I've held on to Trent with the hope that he is back game week 22. So that looks likely. Yeah, and hopefully we get... there's a lot of information to come before the game week 22 deadline. You know, we could get the Liverpool double game week 25 announced. Yeah, and that's where it really becomes a discussion on the likes of Jota. You know, even aside from the double, if that doesn't happen, he's a great pick. But you have to be looking at him if they get that double as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the main thing that's impressing me with Liverpool is just the defensive kind of ability now of the side. I mean, you know, Solanke has been in such good form, but Bournemouth are such a good side. And at home, I was kind of thinking that could be a real challenge for Liverpool. And the fact Liverpool turned them over so easily, having to make changes to the side, giving runouts to a lot of youngsters as well. It's like Konate and Van Dijk just look brilliant. The midfield, like they've got options that can come in and out as well. Alisson's obviously, you know, arguably the best goalkeeper in the world too. So yeah, I think, you know, with potential clean sheets as well for Trent, and then all the other bits of his game that we know he's got, he's just absolute key. And 20% ownership as well. It's not like this is a 50, 60% ownership. He's a bit of a differential now. And I reckon if people listening to this, looking around in mini leagues, there are going to be people that have sold him, because I think people have said, okay, well, Salah's the one that I want to keep, so he's the one that I might bench, for example. And that's meant that Trent has maybe left for other players. But if you've still got him, or if you haven't, I think you should be making plans to get him back.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. What about Jota though? I mean, again, we've talked about the fixtures coming up are quite tough, but it's hard to ignore a player when he gets 19 points.
Yeah. He talked about Arsenal there. He loves a goal against Arsenal. So I think, again, he's the sort of player that can score against anyone. Right now, I've got other priorities, really. The plan is to make sure I get Haaland back. We've seen him back in training. Maybe we'll talk about City a bit. That's my immediate plan, but obviously everyone's teams are different. So I think Jota's perfectly fine as a pick. I think he's a good option. Obviously, once Salah's back, wherever that is, game week 24, 25, then his minutes could be impacted. That could be a factor. But you get at least three game weeks, by the looks of it, out of Jota before that's a concern. And I think maybe Klopp's favoured front three now will be Jota, Darwin and Salah.
Yeah.
I think Diaz has just, he struggled a bit this season, and understandably so. So perhaps that'll be his favourite front three moving forwards, because Jota can obviously play down the left wing as well. Played right wing against Bournemouth, but he can play anywhere across the front three. So there's a lot to like about Jota.
Yeah, I think Diaz and Gakpo have just been a little bit disappointing, I think, this season. I mean, they're both obviously brilliant players. But when you look at what Jota's been doing, when you look at what Salah's been doing, obviously, and then Darwin, I mean, he must be frustrating for Klopp to watch at times and for Liverpool fans in general. But you can't argue the kind of carnage that he sows kind of inside. He's such a presence, so strong, so quick. And yeah, you know, if you're trying to mark him as a defender, you're going to be having nightmares. So yeah, I think I agree with you. I think that is what I think will be the front choice, front three. And you've got to look at Jota as well. I mean, you know, he had 19 points this week, but the signs were there beforehand. You know, he's come off the bench in the two games before that, 26 minutes against Newcastle, 7 points. And then against Burnley as well, 6 minutes. And managed to score in that game too. So yeah, so his run in the Premier League at the moment of 3 goals and 3 assists in 3 games is absolutely incredible. You know, if he carries that on, he's going to be one of the top scoring midfielders in the game. So I do like him. I just think Richarlison is still the one that I want to prioritise over him, which I didn't think I'd be saying that kind of 10 weeks ago. But I just think that, again, it's a fixture play, isn't it? That's what it kind of always comes down to with these things. And I think Richarlison just has slightly better fixtures for me.
Yeah. Should we talk about your side, Brighton?
Oh,
0-0 draw
to.
Against Wolves. What do you think of the game? Stupinan 8-pointer?
Yeah, I mean, Stupinan's kind of got this new role now in this kind of left-sided centre-back kind of type role. I mean, he still gets forwards a bit, but he's definitely is being a little bit restricted in kind of how he gets forward. But I mean, that's not too bad. I mean, he does well on the bonus points because of it, because he's kind of making passes and making kind of the interceptions and clearances and things too. Also, it's a bit like what we saw in Reece James in previous seasons. For a player returning back from an injury like that, in some ways it's quite nice to see them kind of being a bit more steady and not having to kind of bomb up and down the pitch kind of every kind of 30 seconds. So I think he's a really nice pick. I really do think the clean sheets are going to come a bit more consistently for us going forward. I know we've had so few of them this season, but I just think Dunk and Van Hecke are good defenders. And then you bring a Stupinan into that as well.
Yeah.
We look a bit more solid in goal with Steel. And our midfield's good. I mean, Gross, you've got Gilmore, we can control games, and it's good fixtures. So I just think you've got to have a Stupinan. I really do. I just think he's 5.1 million, great fixtures. He's got the attacking threat as well. Why wouldn't you get him?
Exactly. As you say, he's still got Luton and then Palace, Tottenham, Sheffield United, Everton, Fulham, Forest. Really nice fixtures still. So he's one of those picks. You can buy him and just not worry about him for a while. He'll just be there in your team. Yeah. And as you said, like, I think you guys hadn't kept a clean sheet all season. And then he came back and you've got two on the bounce.
Yeah.
And I think you have been a bit unlucky in that respect. Brighton are actually 8th for expected goals conceded over the season. So yeah, I think some people might be overlooking the Stupinan purely because of the clean sheet concerns, but there's plenty of clean sheets to come, I think, over that coming fixture run.
Well, this is football for you, and this is Brighton for you as well. We set a kind of a club record, and I think it's kind of third in the all-time Premier League record of most games with a goal either side. And then we have 2 0-0s in a row against West Ham and Wolves. Both games in which I thought we would score in those. I think we've got key people missing, you know, up top. Ferguson's obviously been out of form. We've got Matoma away and Adingra too. So, you know, March is injured as well. So I think this was kind of going to come at some point. There might be a bit of a goal kind of absence. But I think going forward, we should. I mean, people have bought Gross already. I've got João Pedro as well. I still think they're good options. And I don't think it's going to be another 0-0 against Luton away. I think there's goals in that one, surely.
I agree. Yeah, and I think things are lining up nicely for Brighton because you've got Matoma, who could be back game week 22. Ansu Fati back first week of Feb. You've got Adingra also back end of January. So it's all lining up quite nicely for Brighton. So yeah, I think there's a lot to like there. João Pedro, a bit disappointing. He had a couple of half chances, didn't he? Especially that one late at the end, and he took too many touches to try and find an angle and it didn't come. But yeah, I think Brighton are team on the up.
Yeah, I think with João Pedro, I think he isn't the most clinical finisher. Yeah, obviously a very young player, such a massive talent. Absolutely love watching him play. But yeah, sometimes you do sense that he's not quite got that really clinical edge to his game. So he is a player who I think is going to frustrate. And if you look at his points, you know, even when he plays kind of 90 minutes, they're kind of all over the place. They're either twos or ones or double digits. Like it's very different to Bowen, for example, who you've got. Yeah. But you just need to kind of take that and just kind of hope that he starts returning, which I think he will. I still have faith in him over the next few weeks to get some decent points. But in terms of investment in Brighton, you know, we've talked about all the competition for other places as well. I'd put Estupiñán right at the top of everyone's shopping list if you haven't got him already. But I'm a bit more tempered when it comes to Pedro and Gross. I don't think they're kind of essential players to own. They're nice, fun picks because we're a good attacking side. But I think there probably is better options that I'd be considering.
Yeah. I'm a bit concerned as well. You know, De Zerbi does like to rotate. And you've got options. You've got Welbeck, you've got Ferguson. And we've seen him benched lots unexpectedly this season. So, yeah, I think João Pedro is like a decent pick. You know, he's cheap and nice fixtures, but he is, I'd say, a rotation risk as well. Would you agree with that? Or do you think he's cemented a spot now?
It's always tough to know what's going to happen when Adingra and Matoma come back. I mean, I'd like to think that Pedro has done more than enough to be a first-team player. So the trouble is what formation do we play? Like there seems to be so many different tweaks that are happening, and it all is going to come down to what De Zerbi thinks is the best team on the day against the opposition, and whether that means Welbeck starts or Ferguson or Pedro up top is going to be difficult. Maybe Pedro plays just behind one of those because he's not going to play on the left with Matoma back there, and we've also got Fati to come back as well. So he's definitely a risk, and we've seen earlier in the season that Pedro has been missing some games. So I'm not totally confident on kind of regular starts once our kind of full strength team is back, but I still think that's quite a few weeks away. So that's a future as problem. I'll worry that a bit later down the line.
There was one other player I wanted to talk to you about. Obviously, it was the weekend before, but Newcastle 2, Man City 3.
Mm.
Six shots each for Foden and Alvarez, which was the joint top of game week 21. Obviously, no returns for either. But De Bruyne, off the bench, one goal, one assist, 12-pointer. And obviously, Man City don't have a blank game week 26, unlike Liverpool, who look likely to. What do you think about De Bruyne? Is it time to buy or is it too soon?
I'm just not feeling it. I'm really not. And I know he's so popular and for good reason. You know, he's just scored a big haul against the top side. And he's one of the best players we've ever had in the Premier League and one of the best players we've ever had in FPL. I mean, that's the disclaimer to my rant about before I get into it. But you've also got to remember, this is a player who's been out for, you know, pretty much the whole season. He's spoken himself that his fitness isn't there yet. He spoke like when the player themselves are saying, yeah, I should be on the bench this week, or, oh yeah, that 20-minute run out really, you know, hit me hard. Yeah, these are major warning signs, I think, ahead. Yeah. And Newcastle away is very different to Burnley at home. Burnley at home is a game Man City would expect to win that quite comfortably. And if De Bruyne doesn't start in that game, and maybe he's brought on for 20 minutes, he's not being brought on for 20 minutes to win them the game. He's being brought on for 20 minutes to hold what they've got and maybe play in more of a quarterback, deep-lying playmaker role. So you've got to buy him in knowing he's going to start, I think, that Burnley game. And I don't think we are. Unless Pep comes out and says, De Bruyne is going to start against Burnley, I won't be going near him.
That's my worry as well. He did look knackered. Even after he only played 20-odd minutes, he did look exhausted, even in his post-match interview. And as you said, he's been remarking on his match fitness. So, yeah, I'm not sure if he'll start against Burnley, but it's such a great fixture. But what we do know is game week 25, they've got that confirmed double game week. And that's not for another about 3.5-4 weeks. So could he be a factor by then?
It's really tricky because I really do feel that we need to get those three City spots right. You know, I think Foden is locked in. I think given the way he's been playing, the importance he's got on the side, he's locked in for me. I mean, there are still some question marks around him. You know, if Alvarez is back, if De Bruyne is going to start, if Haaland's back as well, like, you know, what does the team look like? But I think he'll find a way to incorporate Foden. And then it's, you know, if Haaland is back, he's obviously going to be the second one. And then it's, do you go with De Bruyne? Do you go with a defender? You know, you've got Ederson, for example, or like a Walker or someone like that. Do you go for like a Bernardo Silva, or do you take a punt on like a Doku? You know, it is really, really tough to know. I don't think I'm going to be getting De Bruyne even for the double. I can't see him starting both games in that match. But I guess the question to you is, does he need to start both? Is
well, exactly
16, 30 enough? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've just seen what he can do in 20-odd minutes. Yeah. So Yeah, there's lots of points to be had in that double game week, but where they'll come from, I don't know right now.
Yeah.
But one player I think I definitely will have is Haaland, maybe even game week 22. Mm. We've seen him in training pictures. He's not expected to play in the cup, though, before game week 22. So it's a difficult one to judge that. Are you looking to buy him straight back, or are you going to leave it a week and keep hold of Alvarez?
I think he's a key decision that we make, because if the signs are that he's back in training and all that, then... You know, I don't think we're going to get a clear answer from Pep as to whether he's going to start.
No.
So my instinct would be, if he doesn't play any minutes against Tottenham, surely he doesn't start against Burnley. Surely he's benched in that game. And then again, I think it's the same as De Bruyne. I just don't think you can risk it. If he gets minutes against Spurs, if he plays 20, 30 minutes, I think I'll bring him in,
Yeah, I think that's what it boils down to. It is a big call, as you say. Like, my worst nightmare would be to sell Alvarez for Haaland. You know, Haaland's on the bench. You know, he gets 1 point off the bench. Alvarez smashes it, which could happen against Burnley. So yeah, that's, I think that's one going to be a big call for game week 22, whether to buy Haaland.
Would you captain him as well? Yeah, well, that's it. Would you captain him as well? If you buy him ahead of Burnley at home, you've got to captain him, I think, haven't you?
I feel like you have to, yeah. Because you're buying him, like, expecting him to start.
Yeah,
I think you'd have to captain him home to Burnley if you're buying him. If you got him, you start him.
Yeah.
You have to. Even if they, you know, even if Pep, which is unlikely, Pep's not likely to say, yeah, he's going to start or something like that. But
it's been a really strange injury, isn't it? Because I think we kind of expected him to be back a lot sooner than he has been. And with something like this, they're obviously taking a lot of time, a lot of care. They don't want to stick him in too quickly and cause more damage to the foot. So that tells me that they're going to be careful with his minutes and integrate him more gently into the side, which isn't really what I want to be paying 14 million for and captaining. Yeah. So I think unless there's a pretty dramatic change of events over the next week, I won't be getting him for Burnley at home, which as I say it, sounds terrifying.
I know. I'm with you on that though. I don't think I will either. I just wish he'd dropped more in price. He's only 13.9, so he's not gone down much.
Yeah, he's not
But never mind. The split game week is in the rearview mirror now, but there's still plenty of football to be played ahead of Tuesday's game week 22 deadline. Liverpool, Fulham and Chelsea have all got the second legs of the League Cup semi-finals, and the fourth round of the FA Cup will be played on the weekend. Kelly, Jules and Sam will be back later this week to look at the players returning early from AFCON, as well as strategies for the FPL teams in the coming weeks.
If you haven't done so already, join the FPL Pod League. The code is IB3WLK.
See you all next time, everyone.
See ya.